Liverpool's Royal Birkdale Golf Club hosts the 154th Open Championship this week.
The champion golfer for the year with a score of 275, Tom Watson.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague. Open Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Fantastic.
It's been a fantastic start to our Friday. Hopefully everybody's getting ready for their weekend, and we got a lot to get to in the next 2 hours of radio. I have, in this hour of radio for you, are we going to break down Young Hansen highlights? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I do have, though, Vegas over-unders on your Portland Trailblazers.
I think I know what number I'm going to throw. I didn't look it up.
Okay, have not seen the number.
I saw the
bottom five
teams.
None of these are official yet. These are not official. I don't think you can gamble on them yet because the offseason's not done.
Yeah.
This is the work in progress Vegas insider number of where they're at now, barring any changes coming in the offseason.
And I don't believe they're going to have any more changes. I think this is your team.
I was told there's more to come.
That being said, let's be fair and allow the room for change.
Yes, there is time.
I think I have the number.
Okay, hold it. We'll get to that in the next segment because I saw it yesterday and I thought, oh, that's a fun one to debate. So we'll get to that here in a little bit. We're in the middle of talking college football, though. How about that hashtag Beaver Talk? That was pretty good hashtag Beaver Talk.
Was it?
To the Beaver fans out there, gave you a little Beaver Talk.
We talked about how the coach is refusing to give a depth chart, and they're old.
I love it, dude. You got to be old, one. If you're going to be bad, you might as well be old, get a little more experience, a couple of gray hairs. And, yeah, dude, why not a little subterfuge? I'm not giving you my depth chart.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, Jamarcus Shepherd not wanting to give a depth chart, and every other coach in human history for Phil Steele has. Again, it can be a thing. It's not a thing for me. Whatever. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was going to get to this at 45, but we ran long and Phil was a little late. Is it a disappointment? So Phil Steele thinks Oregon State wins four games. He says it's a rebuild, and he doesn't think a rebuild is going to give them a lot of wins. But if you are honest about it, you're doubling up your win total from a year prior, right? Still not going to make people feel amazing about it, but no. Here we are.
Technically progress, but it doesn't feel like
Is it a disappointment for Oregon State to finish below Washington State in the first year of the revamped full Pac-12 conference? Because Washington State has completely restarted.
They have.
They've lost talent. They lost their second coach. They are all in on the revamp, whereas like years past, you do lose a coach, but largely your talent's okay. A guy comes in, settles things. They have been gutted. Oregon State has been gutted.
And that's a tough part I have with it because they've also lost two coaches in the last 2 years.
I know, but that's their roster turnover this year was worse than it was the year prior.
Yeah, I would have said I would have been more disappointed as a Beaver fan with the fact that Washington State finished better than you last year because they had lost Dickert in the offseason. They hired a guy from a lower level. You were returning your head coach. By the way, we had forgotten this because all of it's a memory fog at this point. We went back and looked at Braves year one and forgot that they were 5-7. Now, the end of the season was a disaster, but they started, I want to say, 4-0? Before finishing the season 1-7,
yeah,
things crumbled late.
Crumbled, yeah.
But you went 5, and it's like you were almost bowl eligible in year one under Bray. And so going into last season, there was a little bit of optimism that you were going to be good. That was a disaster. The Washington State was better than you last year. And I know you ended up beating them late in the season when you played in one of the games, at least you probably played them twice. But this year, I wouldn't say that because of the fact that you're also starting from scratch. Now, some of the player turnover numbers might not be exactly the same, but I feel like you're both in very similar spots of coach left in the offseason, one got fired, another one left for a new job. That does create turnover, and it does create kind of a rocky time. And so if they come out and they go 6-6 and you go 5-7, that's not the disaster part for me. The disaster part is looking like an incompetent football program again, which is what you looked like last year.
You're good, but if you're just use his number, right?
Yes.
His logic. If you win four games, you're having several you look like a disaster moments.
I mean, not necessarily, but it depends on who you lose to.
I mean, I don't think they're losing to Texas Tech by a field goal. I don't think you're losing to Houston if you do by like 6 points.
Those aren't the games I'm talking about. I'm talking about Sam Houston State at home.
Sure, there's
or
no 27
to nothing to Air Force on the road and not getting a first down the entire game.
You're not
Texas
wrong.
Texas Tech's a playoff contender and Houston's a good pro.
But you might get bludgeoned by Boise State. That's entirely possible.
You're on the road at Boise at the end of the year. Very well
Texas
could happen.
Texas Tech could come into your building and beat you by two touchdowns. If that kind of stuff happens, even if they've made progress in the win column, I still think you largely have a four-win season that people don't feel amazing about, even if there was some improvement to it.
I look at Oregon State's schedule. Look at all this hashtag Beaver talk, dude. It's bleeding into another segment. We just can't stop talking.
I think I disagree with you. I think you made some very good points.
On the Washington State front, you mean?
Yeah, just on the is it a disappointing season if Oregon State finishes behind Washington State in year one of the new conference?
I mean, they've been better than you the last 2 years. They had Cam Ward a couple years ago, and they were fine. And
they
then
beat you your big year with DJ at Pullman. Remember, that was a big win for them.
That was a huge win for them.
They didn't
in the
have
last
as good a
conference.
Season. They kind of crumbled, and team players were checking out. And then Dickert came back, and you split last year with them.
But they were the better team last year.
They were the better team, no doubt, because I think they won 5 games last year. And I didn't take – it wasn't a hard deep dive to see that they were better than you.
It's not a big hurdle to get over Oregon State last year.
I just find it really interesting, like – even though you're restarting in so many ways, so is Wazoo, but your barometer into this new conference isn't simply start building slowly. It's like they want to win it, dude. Like it is go to the playoff. And I don't think that's possible in year one, but 4 wins is not going to make you feel like they'll take that leap year two, even if it is possible.
No, I'm with you there. I look at Oregon State's schedule right now, and this is a dangerous game to play because we don't know, right? We don't know exactly how all this stuff's going to look out. I almost, as an Oregon State fan, would break it down into a 9-game schedule. Now, if it's not that case and you pull off an upset, then good for you. You proved me wrong. I chalk up opening in Houston as an L. I don't think you're beating Texas Tech, and I don't think you're beating Boise State at the end of the year on the road. I don't think you're winning those 3 games.
Oh, I don't think you can beat Boise State.
Right, those are not viable wins for me. Now, again, if I'm wrong, laugh in my face, that's great. Great for Jamarcus Shepherd in year one. And so that ends up boiling it down to a 9-game schedule because those are 3 kind of auto losses in my head. What can you go in the 9 games? Can you go 5-4? Are you going to go 4-5? Like, that's where the 4-win season comes in.
And that's where not knowing enough about these teams in a conference that's technically a group of 6.
Yes.
This is where it's going to bite me probably every year of us talking about it.
Right.
I might have a better firm hold of this year's Oregon State team in the years to come.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea about this year's, like this actual season's. We won't have a real depth chart that's accurate because Jamarcus Shepherd, by the way, first magazine came out in
1995. That was a long time ago. It did come out when I was a kid.
It did come out when you were a kid. So you're talking about 30 years of a preview magazine and no coach has ever refused to give him a depth chart until Oregon State's coach.
You gotta be secretive.
But I don't, like, here's a team. Colorado State went and hired Jim Mora Jr.
They did.
He was pretty good at UConn. Are they going to be good? I don't know. Is Texas State going to be good? He likes Fresno State. I couldn't tell you anything.
Yeah,
is Kurt Warner's kid still there? They got a new quarterback. So, like, I think that's a tough part of the conference and covering Oregon State that I have encountered is not only do I not know the team that's going to play at Reser, sorry, no disrespect. I'm never deep diving into Colorado State.
It's more of a the week of the game kind of situation.
Yes.
Who are you at?
Read
okay.
About it as you go into
who
things.
Did they play last week? Or maybe you're doing like a 1 week look ahead of like, hey, they got Colorado State next week, so let's watch the Colorado. Let's pay attention to that game this weekend.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of that, but I'm with you from top to bottom because a lot of those teams won't end up being competitive. And you could say there's a top half and a bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I don't know how you look at a team like Texas State, for example. Who was in the Sun Belt last year?
They were 6-6 last year.
They were 6-6 in the Sun Belt.
How do I look at that and say
they're an upper echelon team in the conference? Well, going 6-6 in the Sun Belt. That's the difficult part of this just how it's all going to blend together. We just genuinely don't know.
The beauty of college football in general, and beauty I mean like kind of a disaster but fun.
Mm-hmm.
We do this. We could do this with half of the power conferences.
Oh, without a doubt, we could.
Can you tell me confidently what Minnesota will be this year?
No idea. They're going to row the boat. I know that.
Well, row.
Are they rowing it forward or backward? I don't know.
Are we Viking rowing?
Ooh. Are they going sideways?
Or is like one guy going the opposite way and now the boat's turning in a weird direction?
Right. I would say, too, last
note
on this.
Are you a good rower, by the way? I find that I'm okay at rowing, but
I don't think I'd be a very good rower. Am I a one side rower or a both side rower?
You're doing a both sides rowing.
Both sides, I think I'm better than an individual rower.
Because I have a kayak, so it's I have a one row.
Okay.
And you don't have the dual?
No, it's a one-person kayak.
Don't you always go in a circle?
What?
You're
just rowing on one side. No, you go a little left.
You go okay. Right. I didn't know if it was kind of planted into the guy. I didn't know.
We did pretty good sea kayaking. We did that one time on our trip out in the Kator Bay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rowing's not easy.
It's not easy to do at all.
And when you have two people in the boat, you gotta sync it up.
You have to sync it up. You also have to balance the strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have strong on one side, weak on the other. This is not, remember, the Titans left side, strong side.
Yeah.
This is, you have to have both sides.
You can tell if you have two righties or two lefties in the boat at the same time.
Look, guys, we keep veering right. Can we go?
You need a righty and a lefty.
You got to go that way.
Rowing is a really impressive thing to see, but also the nerdiest sports shout out in a movie in history of cinema is The Social Network when the Mark Zuckerberg character asks the guys, You guys athletes? And the guy just turns and goes, we row crew. You row a boat.
I heard the Huskies are good at crew.
We row crew.
They are, right up there on the Montlake Cut.
last thing on Oregon State, by the way.
Has anybody been terrified of a rower? We row crew.
I mean, I imagine rowers in really good shape, but no.
But, like, he says it in a way it's like, you wish
you're
you
were wearing me. J. Crew to crew, rowing crew.
We row crew.
That was one that just never really did anything for me. Like, the idea of doing that is like a sport.
Oh.
Mm.
Everybody have fun.
It's an Olympic sport.
I am well aware
of that. Those Olympic rowers are yoked.
They are absolutely
strong. It's not easy.
Like, would you want to go out on a dragon boat on the Willamette? I don't want to do
that.
I'd
rather be better at golf.
Can I be the hype guy? Remember the Asian hype guy in the front? Remember that guy that went viral? Who was doing like the Macarena or whatever?
You want to be that guy?
I want to be
that.
I'll be the vibes guy.
You gotta
I would capsize the boat. It would not work.
Those coxswains are jockey sized.
Excuse me?
Coxswain.
What was that?
That's what they're called, the front vibe guy?
Coxswain?
Well, on a...
coxswain here! You order a plate of coxswain?
Well, if you see how it's spelled, you'll never guess that would be one of those words I would stick in front of you there, unsuspecting, and watch you
to see
just
how
go.
I say it?
Yeah.
I believe you.
But they're, the person in the... So when they have the fours or the eights and the little person up in the front that's keeping them all on the same stroke...
Yeah.
Called the Cox.
I think Beaver fans would be disappointed if they finished below Washington State.
That's a good poll question. I'm going to put that up.
I think so.
I also will just add, and this might be, Beaver fan might hear this and just scream at me, and that's fine. I do think there's differences to, like we say that in golf, there's no pictures on a scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would argue maybe there's no picture on a record, right? 4-8 is 4-8. There was a component of last year.
I don't know how easy Wazoo's schedule looks.
I'll go pull it up. I know they play the Apple Cup, and Oregon State doesn't play the Civil War this year, so there's that balance. But Oregon State also plays Texas Tech
and
Houston, which are both very difficult games, one of them on the road. There's an optic of like, man, you play Texas Tech, and the game is 28-21 going into the fourth quarter. You're feisty. They add a late touchdown. They win by 14.
Yeah.
As compared to going on the road and giving up. How many 4th-and-27s did they let Texas Tech convert?
Exactly.
Right? Or you're playing a team.
They couldn't snap a ball.
You couldn't snap a football. You couldn't execute a punt.
It's debatably the worst year.
Yes. And so this is my point of like, this is my point with the schedule looking at it. I think there's three auto losses on there.
Yeah.
So if you tell me you go 4-5 the rest of the way, but you're competitive in all the other losses, and you can execute a field goal and a punt.
I don't think anybody disagrees with that.
That's
point
a difficult
you're
point. Like 4-8 doesn't feel good. I'm not telling you to feel good about 4-8. It's more about how did you get to 4-8, and did you look like a competent football team? Because last year you looked incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disaster. He didn't know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
The program So anyways, we don't need to go over that again. But that would be my take. I'll put that up as a poll question though. Is it demoralizing to finish behind Washington State this year? Let's get to a couple. By the way, on the old roster note too, Washington State also hovering around the top 10. That's a theme I'm sensing from smaller programs and new coach programs of like, Let's go get guys who've played 3 or 4 years at lower levels of college football.
Of age.
Yeah, and like, might as well get a guy who's 23.
Yeah, so you can
like,
get more to scheme and system rather than fundamentals and techniques and all that stuff.
And you're not going to recruit a dynamite high school class right away. It's going to take your time. So you're raiding the portal a lot. And so it's interesting. They were just outside the top 10 as well. I want to get to a James Franklin conversation. We're going to have to kind of kick some stuff down. I don't know if I have enough time for it here.
Yeah.
I will get to my Blazer over under this hour. I promise.
Well, we need to talk about the terms. We have agreed upon terms.
We have proposed terms.
Agreed upon by our city.
The city has put some things on
paper. When you said that,
paper.
I thought, did I miss breaking news? Did Tom Dunnan said I signed on the dotted line?
Although I will note for the future conversation we're going to have today, I was told not all the city council members agreed to those terms.
I don't care.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Piss off.
Shove them into a closet.
Okay.
Get them out of here. But stuff them in a locker. Outside, we don't need you to do business.
Somebody told me, like, so-and-so does not agree with these terms. And I went, I don't care.
Some people who said publicly that they were going to vote for it and end up passing a deal ended up not being in favor of it. Wow, how about that? Well, talking out of both sides of your mouth, politicians.
What? No way.
Maybe we should worry about ethics complaints instead. How about this? I love, talk about breath of fresh air. We don't get that a lot in politics. We also don't get it a lot in coaching.
Yeah.
Brent Key has risen up one of the rankings of my favorite coaches.
Run the ball.
Dude, he just seems like wouldn't you love to play for a guy like that?
Seems like a good dude.
Like a no-nonsense good dude.
Didn't leave, by the way. He's staying at Tech so far.
Okay.
That's good.
Brent Key yesterday, I saw this. I'm so glad we pulled it. Georgia Tech's up at ACC Media Days. By the way, he's going like collared shirt, little loosened with a couple of chains on.
Not like the nicest collared shirt either. It seems like something you'd wear without a jacket, but he put a jacket over it and he had the chains out. I love it.
Probably not ironed. It did not look like an iron shirt, which kudos to you.
It looked like what you got in the tea bag from a charity golf tournament that he was in.
Dude, no tie. Great look. Here's Brent Key on the hypocrisy of coaches.
I mean, I don't have to say in it. I mean, we could walk out of here right now and be three different rules or a change in something, but you have to be adaptable, right? You have to be able to change. And like people say, kids are different now. Well, so are the adults. We are too, right? We're the ones that set the example, but the same guys that want to complain about a lot of the things in college football need to look themselves in the mirror. They're the ones jumping jobs every 2 years too.
Mm.
Let's be real. Mm-hmm. The adults in the room sometimes end up being the bigger problem. And I'm very transparent with my team about that. We talk very real in terms of that. Look, we're coworkers. There's no dictatorship at Georgia Tech. I'm the head coach. I'm the leader, yes. But we have to work together, and they understand that. It's about the players at Georgia Tech. Always has been and always will be as long as I'm the head football coach there.
Sorry, so total side tangent. I'm pretty sure Bryson DeChambeau just hit a golf ball off the planet and went so far right. They just showed something, and I'm like, that looks like a swampland from Florida. I don't even think that's
over there.
That's not a part of the course, buddy.
He hit it in the North Sea? Where did he hit it?
They're not looking for that ball.
That was like 300 yards right of his target line. That was remarkable.
Who does he ask? Can you go search for that? No, dude. We don't go that right.
There's alligators over there, man.
Crazy.
I just – this – yes. Thank you. The coaches who complain about tampering, who tamper themselves – you're the problem.
I agree.
If you don't like it, then don't do it. Yeah. But of course you do it because it benefits your team, but then you don't like it when it happens to you.
Yep.
I can't stand all these players jumping in the portal, and then the first time a school offers you $2 million more dollars, what do? Mm-hmm. You jump and go take that job. We're part of the problem. Yeah. I hope that this, and I don't know where this is going to go in years to come, but there is a bit of a, outside of the obvious Lane Kiffin example, right?
Ugh.
Who's always done this his
so
entire
bad
career.
For the sport.
We have Brent Key.
Mm-hmm.
Stay.
Yeah.
Kenny Dillingham.
Stay.
My guy's been thrown out there how many times? Yeah. Stay. And I'm sure we can go further down the list if you want.
I think the test will be the Vanderbilt
Lashley,
guy.
Yes. Yeah. Vanderbilt. Clark Lee.
Yeah.
That's his
how
alma mater.
How long will he stay?
Yep. He had offers this offseason, I'm sure, mm-hmm. and said, I'm sticking around. Like, how do you not, after being competent at Vanderbilt?
Rhett Lashley, SMU.
Yes. So it's like we're starting to get this trend of, like, people realizing the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence. I love that. And so, I don't know. I love me some Brent Key. His chains were awesome, and I love when coaches call out other coaches for being hypocrites because they're all hypocrites.
Yeah.
So, end of rant.
I agree. Ten of ten. No notes. What do you want me to add to it?
I just like our new little sound.
That's a good one.
I love
that.
The transition.
That's a pretty good one.
It's a good call by you. You said you had something in store. I didn't know where you're going with that.
Yeah. We're reteeing. Should we live play-by-play this one? That's so far
he
right.
Right
he's reteeing.
What if
on
he goes
five.
Right again?
Provisional ball. Oh, now he hooked it a little bit. That should be okay. I mean, that's on the planet at least. I don't know where it's going to end up.
That club head must have been so open on that swing.
I'm watching the ball flight
all the way right
off the tee box, and I'm like, I don't think you're supposed to go over there, man. That's not a cutting on the corner. That's off the golf course. We'll update John Bryson on the other side. James Franklin conversation, a little more college football nuggies, and then we'll get into the Blazers at some point. I got an early over-under from Vegas. What do you think the number is? The fan text line, 503-864-6326. Back after this on the fan. All right, what do you think the Blazers over-under is? Early peekaboo number in Vegas, 503-864-6326. We'll get to that. We've got to talk a little World Cup, a little footy at some point. They got the game on Sunday.
The big game.
The big game is what they call it, right?
They're being told.
The finale.
The final.
The final. This is the final
being told the wildfires up there out of Canada that are affecting air quality in the Northeast are not going to alter the schedule at this point.
Yeah, the Mets and Phillies were playing in a haze. Michigan
Chicago Fire game was postponed yesterday. They were supposed to host the Vancouver Whitecaps, part of the MLS.
I heard it's bad in Chicago.
That got postponed.
Yeah, the air quality in Chicago literally was the worst in the entire world yesterday.
Hey, thanks, Canada. What the hell, dude? What did we ever do to you? Just try and make it a 51st state?
Well,
take it easy.
We've tried to do some stuff, but like, I feel bad for our neighbors to the north.
They've also breathed in a lot of our smoke over the years, too. I'm sure it goes both ways. We've had our share of forest fires.
We're both secondhand smoking.
Yes, we are.
Right.
So we'll get in a little footy football and talk about that at some point in the final hour of the show. Before I get to my James Franklin audio, which I want to play here, how about this shot across the bow? Do you know? I'm not going to throw this at you because I think you saw it and you know who he is.
Okay.
Jason Swigart. Do you know who Jay Sawvell is? Could you name the profession and what he does?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Does not ring a bell for you? I don't blame you either, because I would have never guessed it in a million years.
S-A-U-V-I-L-L-E?
S-A-W-V-E-L.
Oh.
I'm assuming that's how you say it? I actually don't even know.
Okay.
I just phonetically spelled it out, Sawvell.
Mm-hmm.
He is the head football coach at Wyoming. How about him, Cowboys?
The guy that he took over for, who was there for Kurt?
Craig Bohl. Who stepped down. He was the DC under Bohl and took over a couple of years ago. He has turned himself into quite the character. He's got a lot of quotes over the last couple of years that have gone viral, if you will.
Kind of looks like Daboll.
Yeah, he does look like Brian Daboll. We're not paying attention to it, but they have Mountain West Media Days going on right now. They're at the same time as the ACC.
I will give Oregon State and Pac-12 fans credit for this, at least. I still think you have a media day
just
have it.
Do it.
Whatever. I have enjoyed are there any cameras at this event?
Well, not here, because I looked desperately to try and find video of this, and I could not find video from it. Yeah. Now, I'm sure if I kept looking a little bit longer,
where are they holding it?
That is a great question. I don't know either.
Vegas?
I would think Vegas.
All right, hold on.
I mean, you still have UNLV there.
If you want to get any soul to care and go, it would be Vegas.
Palm Casino Resort in Vegas.
There you go.
So, I mean, you know, there's worse things to do to be in Vegas right now. By the way, the doucher did find his golf ball. Got out of trouble. He is going to make a bogey, though.
Not bad, though. Bogey from that situation is not awful.
I think
had a par putt.
I think he cheated. Anyways, Jay Sawvell yesterday at Mountain West Media Days. It kicks off. Everybody's excited. Here comes Mountain West football. Now, remember, it's a new look Mountain West. They lost some of their key players.
Yeah.
And then added, like, Northern Illinois.
And they had Sacramento State.
I believe they did. And Jay Sawvell said this to open up his press conference. He said, quote, "A year ago, there was this cloud. Right? We come to these media days and it was like, okay, there's those guys, then there's these guys. Now we don't have those guys. They're out. They can do whatever. They can go join the team in Pullman, Washington." If you've ever been there, like, what?
You're in Wyoming.
Laramie.
You're in Laramie, Wyoming.
Laramie. That's important to point out. Not Jackson Hole. Beautiful city.
Yeah.
Laramie.
Yep.
At 7,000 feet of elevation,
as
where you
somebody
can't breathe.
Who's been to Laramie and Pullman, you can prefer one over the other. That is fine. To each their own. Let's not act like you're living in Los Angeles here, okay? Like,
no. By the way,
of all the places to take shot at
Boulder,
Pullman,
Colorado.
According to the census, Pullman has more people in it.
Yeah, Laramie is a ghost town, dude.
So why would you say this?
I don't know. And of all the programs to take a shot at, wouldn't you rather take a shot at one of the departing programs?
No, I get it.
Like, I'm glad I don't have to go visit.
They're close. He's recruiting against that team.
Okay, all right.
I get it.
Yeah. Take a shot.
Everything's a recruiting battle.
Coug fans, stand
you
up.
You could have said Fresno.
Yeah, dude. I didn't want to go to Fresno anymore.
Oh.
It's a tar star. I don't want to go down there, okay?
I have driven through Fresno too many times. Oh.
He said, get me out of here.
Yikes.
Man.
You could have said Logan.
Only thing worse than Fresno is Bakersfield.
Now, you've been to Logan, right? Have you been to Logan?
I've been through Logan.
Through Logan? What's the review on Logan?
Logan's actually not...
Not bad?
It's not as bad as Pullman or Laramie or Fresno.
Ooh, swag taking shots at Pullman, too.
Yeah, unnecessary.
I was almost a coup, man.
I went to Pullman.
I loved Pullman when I went to go visit it.
Well, I was there in the dead of winter for some
were
pilot
you really
hoops.
Close?
Yeah, I was, yeah. I was.
I know, it, like, yeah, no finals, but like...
My final four was Oregon, Nebraska, Washington State, or Lewis and Clark to play football.
Hmm.
And it was a tough call.
It'd be cool if you were a river otter.
River otter? Well, yeah. I would have been a pioneer. And I probably would have fought against the River Otters, even though it is a great name.
How very you.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Oh, Pioneer, are you offended by that? Oh, no. You can't go to school here anymore. Oh, no. Oh, no, I can't go here anymore. Oh, no. Get out of here, dude. Anywho's, there's your shots fired.
Not good.
Not good. He doesn't like going to Pullman, Washington. Have fun in Laramie. Here is our man.
Have fun in Sacramento.
Yeah, they got to go to Sacramento now.
Dude.
Which we all know is worse than Salem.
Google Image does these photos of the cities when you like look them up.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Laramie looks...
Dude, I've been to Laramie.
Barren?
There's nothing there.
Yeah. Just cattle.
Looks like towns in Oklahoma I had to go to when I was there.
If you're an urban cowboy.
It looks like
Lawton. Yeah. Lawton. If you're an urban cowboy, going to Jackson Hole is fun. Outside of that, Wyoming.
I think Lawton at least had a casino.
Yeah, at least you could gamble a little bit while you're there. James Franklin now at ACC Media Days, no longer Big Ten Media Days. He is out from Penn State. He continues to talk about his ex.
Blessed and privileged to be representing there.
I can't get enough of this.
ACC.
Injected into my veins. I want to look up. I'll play this. I'm going to pull up their schedule because I'm curious when the first like candidate for like a night game is, and God, is he going to blow
Sandman?
Those? Enter Sandman. Is they're a favorite, and he blows.
He gets a pass year one, doesn't he?
Ooh, good question. So let's play this.
Actually, maybe he doesn't.
I don't know if James Franklin should ever get a pass for anything, but here is James Franklin yesterday at ACC Media Days.
We've been sprinting really since we arrived in Blacksburg, and I think I would describe it as I think we have won the offseason.
Why do
we've
you
had
do
a great
yourself?
Offseason in terms of implementing our standards and our expectations and our culture. But we've been able to hit the ground running. We are bigger, we are stronger, we are faster than we have been. There's no doubt about that. And I think our depth is in a position to be able to compete. So from an expectation, from a standards, from a culture standpoint, I think we're in a really good place. Again, we feel like we have won the offseason.
Double
that's
down?
Great. That sounds good in a press conference. It's a great soundbite. The reality is we got to make sure all those things translate to the season and go out and play a style and a brand that is going to make Coach Beamer proud. Bud Foster proud, all of our alumni. We want to make all those people proud of how we play, how we conduct our business.
He too nice and honest?
Yes.
I think that's his problem.
Yes. This is
the off season.
Al-Farouq Aminu projecting to 56 wins at the four.
We won the offseason?
You lose a game to Maryland in week three, everybody's going to be saying, well, there goes that offseason victory.
Yep.
Why do you do this to yourself?
I don't know why he does it to himself.
Yeah, by the way, they're not going to have a big home. Georgia Tech is maybe their biggest home. Clemson, they play on the road.
When
SMU,
did they play Tech?
Not until the middle of October. October 17th.
So what week is that? So how many games are we talking?
It's game six or seven.
So I just wonder if they're like one. If they're 5-1?
Yeah, 5-1.
Well, they get a Friday night game at home against Pittsburgh.
That'll
October
probably,
7th.
And I think that's technically
that's
a rivalry.
ESPN, 4
yeah.
o'clock.
If you could beat Pitt, who was good record-wise, beat Narduzzi.
They could be, Maryland will be their toughest game of their, those three non-conference games.
Loxley sucks.
Is Tua's little brother still there?
Loxley is one of the worst tenured coaches.
They
got to
go to Maryland. So they get VMI and Old Dominion.
Go look
at
how long he's been at Maryland and go look at the record.
It's and then nothing. They're at it's Maryland crazy. And at BC. So he could be 4-0 going
very
into
well
that
could.
Pick
if that
game.
Happens, you enter Sandman with Georgia Tech.
Oh, and it's a Friday night game, too. So Friday it's a standalone night. Game, too.
That's
yeah, that'll
been,
be a lot
let's
of fun.
Go.
All their other big games, though, of note, like Cal on the road, Clemson on the road, SMU on the road, and Miami's on the road. So, I, He's refreshing because he is honest to a fault almost, James Franklin is. He's entertaining, and it's going to give you a reason to watch Virginia Tech. One last note on them before we get into a couple of Blazer things here in the next segment. It is a very unique circumstance that I don't know if I've ever seen before. Now, maybe somebody can point to me that this has happened before. So they fired Brent Pry last year. He was their head coach for, I want to say, 4 years he was at Virginia Tech. He hired him.
Yeah, he was. He was DC at Penn State.
He's the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he came back.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting, but I kind of novel. I appreciate it. Like, he was the head coach.
Well, what's weirder, Brent Pry coming back as the DC after just literally being fired by an institution, or Damon Williams?
Oh, Brent. That's a tough question. I think I go Brent Pry because they technically fired. Damon tried to leave. He was just one individual.
Like, imagine if Dusty was like, this would be we're going to hire Ortner to replace you. I'm going to need you to produce the show.
The coach comp would be like Lane Kiffin saying, I'm going to LSU, and he jumps on the bird, and then they get there, and then, like, the state budget doesn't approve the deal, and he has to get back on a plane and fly back to Ole Miss
and
be their coach.
And he's got to be the OC at Ole Miss.
Like, oh, dude, what? No, you gave up on your job. Now we're going to make – I thought that was kind of cool and unique, and he had a great quote this offseason.
They're like best friends.
Yeah, and he was like, if anybody knows the roster of Virginia Tech, it's him. He was the head coach here. So who should we retain? Who are the good players? He was the guy that recruited all of them. I might as well keep him around. It's just a unique – to put yourself in the spot of you were fired by a place and then went back to work at a place for a, yes, well-compensated, but lesser job than originally before.
How would Trump react if they told him J.D. Vance needed to take his job but he could still be vice president?
You could still be Secretary of State, though. What? It just,
I don't think this would sit well with anybody.
I don't think it would.
It's also such big dollars and cents these guys make.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, what are you going to do? You're going to go be a DC somewhere else anyway, right?
Right. You might as well stay a place you know, I guess.
So how about you don't sell your house?
Work
for your best friend again?
Don't need to move?
And, you know, look, it's not easy. You're going to have to, like, forever live in the idea of, like, I was never good enough, but my best friend was better and they wanted him. You also... you got a good setup here. You get to be a DC. You don't have to move. You're going to make a ton of money.
All the heat's going to go to Franklin
All
now.
The
you're
heat
off
is on
the
Frank.
Hook.
You're not sitting here saying we won the offseason.
Nope, that ain't your quote, buddy.
You're just deciding if you're blitzing on second or third down.
James Franklin, keep being honest. We love it. Let's get to what is the early look over-under for the Blazers, according to Las Vegas, for the upcoming season. I'll give you the number. We'll see what Sprague and Swag's guests are. Are we taking the over or the under as of now? We'll get to that next. 105.1 FM, The Fan. Well, P. Harris in here defending Pullman, Washington, as any good Coug would. I mean, come on, Laramie, looking at you. Lots still to get to. Talk a little footy football coming up in the final hour of the show. Get you set for your sports weekend. A thought from Bob on the YouTube chat. Why don't you stick this in your pipe and smoke it, Swag? Young Hansen, 4 blocks last night. Let's count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I think he had 5 turnovers.
Nobody cares about turnovers. Talking about blocks now.
Okay, 5 rebounds.
We're not talking about rebounds. We're talking about block shots.
Sick no-look pass, though.
And Young Hansen was throwing down yips last night.
Are you turning the temperature to 71 perfect and then turning it to 61? Because, like, the temperature in this room is uncomfortable for me.
I can't.
I don't know what you're doing over there, but, like, it's freezing. Last segment, I was nice and toasty. I don't know what to do here.
You sweated me out with mugginess this morning.
It's 50 degrees when I get here in the morning.
I don't blame you for turning it on.
So I turn it up. I try to heat it up. It gets hot. You turn it to, like, 60. I'm dying today.
I turned it back up.
My nipples are so hard.
It cuts some ice
for me. How cold it is in here.
Let's make some cocktails. Cut some ice, man. Huh?
Different body weights. We need to bear that in mind with each other.
So, hand up. Hand up.
You're still in the blanket.
Hand up.
I'm freezing.
I did turn the heat down. Hand up.
Yeah.
I have since turned it back up because it even got too cold for me. Because I'm like, why are we now? Like, why is it down to 66? I didn't set it to 66.
This sucks. This room can't stay one temperature. Either gets way too hot or it gets freezing cold.
Swag? Huh? 4 blocks last night?
Come on. You didn't watch.
No, I didn't watch a second.
It was on the second screen.
He wasn't their leading scorer.
It was on the second screen for you last night, huh?
What's wrong with you?
Why?
What else was on at 7:30?
You could just have one screen. Why do you need two screens?
Watch your favorite porn.
It's your go-to category. Any hoosies, Young Hansen had 4 blocks last night. Let's do that. That'd be a fun game, a family feud someday of Guess That Category.
What are your two categories?
What are your two biggest searches?
Stepmom and teacher. What?
2 inches is a lot, buddy.
What?
Over-unders as of July 16th, which was yesterday.
All right.
The NBA.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to try to guess what I think they put the number.
Can I have you guess who is the lowest in the league first?
Oh, I know that.
Who is it?
It's the Kangs. Has to be the Kangs.
It is not the Kangs.
Liar.
It's not the Kangs. There's one team with a one game. The Bucks are slightly ahead of the Kangs.
The Nets.
Kangs are 22.5. It is the Nets. Yeah, the 21.5 is their over-under.
Like 80 guards.
This is as of now, right? So they have. I don't think you can officially bet on these. Somebody got a spreadsheet, and Sam, I think I saw it from Sam Vecini is who I saw it from.
Okay.
Go ahead. Take your shot in the dark at the highest, or not the highest, the win total for the Portland Trailblazers.
38.5.
Okay, that's your guess, 38.5?
That's what I think they're going to put the number at, assuming our roster doesn't change.
Swag?
39.5.
Ooh, okay. You guys are both in the 30s. And Vegas would tell you
way over
43.5. 43.5. If you're curious where that ranks in the Western Conference,
well, it can't be that high.
Seventh.
Yeah,
close. Okay. Seventh.
Exactly where they finished.
OKC 61.5.
Nice.
Ahead of San Antonio. Yeah. San Antonio 60.5. Denver 49.5. Big drop off.
Wow.
49.5 for Denver. Mm. 48.5 for Minnesota.
Where are the Lakers?
47.5 for the Rockets.
Whoa.
44.5 for the Lakers. 43.5 for the Blazers. Right behind us is Golden State at 40.5, Phoenix at 38.5, and then you take a big jump down. Utah's down at 34.5, as is Dallas at 34.5.
Dare I say I'm hammering Utah's over.
When is Kyrie Irving supposed to be back?
He should be back at the start of the year.
The one I would hammer the over on is
Dallas.
Is Dallas taking a big jump?
Yeah. I like that.
And I like Dusty May to give them some sort of structure and organization that will allow them to be successful early.
I'm betting the over on the Lakers.
Okay.
Even Lakers 44.5. Is telling Laker fan, be careful what you wish for with that LeBron.
There is an element of that that's 100% true. There's a segment of that fan base that never liked him.
They always will hate him.
It's stupid. It's LeBron James.
I know, but Kobe's their guy.
I don't care.
I get it.
Really just all about the health of the dude.
Luka Doncic?
Yeah.
You blank on his name for a moment.
Thought he was going to blank, and you had a look like, I don't remember this guy's name at all.
I cannot speak English, but...
So, looking at the Blazers...
I don't like the over right now.
I'm gonna tweet this out right now.
Let me think a little bit. When it's official, if that's the number, I tell you right now, the gut instinct is I'm betting the under.
Well, what's your gut tell you about the rest of the summer? Does your gut tell you that this is it?
So
this
is it.
Nothing significant.
So if this is it with what we have now, the over-under is likely not going to evolve that much. Unless you get some sort of injury news.
Unbalanced roster. I don't know how they're going to assemble. I don't know how he puts together a team that can be somewhat competent defensively and still give them all the offense that they're going to need. If they put an offensive team out there, they better knock down close to 50% of their threes because they're going to get shredded at the other end.
I'm trying to watch. We had a listener tweet us a few hours, like last night, and I guess the Blazers did a Rip City hype video.
And they didn't have Scoot and Shaden in it.
Yeah, did you watch it?
I haven't watched
it yet.
I peeked at it because I saw somebody say that, and I thought, oh, that's... I don't know. I'm not one of those people that reads that as like a cryptic, like, ooh, they're going to make a...
I don't think they
guys.
Do it for that reason, but it does still say something by the organization not including them in a hype
video. Like, look, if you're right now trying to sell tickets as the Portland Trailblazers...
Well, you're putting John Dame
at the top, and then Denny's third.
And then Denny.
And nothing like that. So
Denny,
I get
Donovan,
the conspiracy theory.
Dame, John.
Kamara, all those guys are higher on the hype video than Scoot and Shaden.
I agree with you.
They're bench players.
But if you're doing a hype video, you can't put a Shaden dunk?
No, only Ja dunks.
Yeah.
Only Ja dunks allowed.
Well, according to Ja Morant, nobody can dunk better than him except Zion.
Oh, he said Zion can dunk better than him. Huh?
Zion was the only guy he would pick, and that's just basically because they were friends or still are friends. I don't know.
I'm going to put this up right now at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. The early Vegas over-under line for the Blazers is set at 43.5.
They're
going to
hammer
season.
This on the poll question. We already had people saying they're going to win 50 games.
Just putting it out there.
That's a clear under.
Clear under.
Yeah. 50 games?
I'm 50. Swag. Yeah, 43
and a half. 43 and a half.
That's a clear under for
I
you?
I think it's going to be a struggle for them if this is their
roster
to get to 40.
There's some things that I think we will go, hey, this is why they did it. This was good.
Mm-hmm.
The conference is huge, and you got smaller.
Yeah.
And you don't have shooting.
No.
And you're relying on older players coming off injury or that are oft injured. We really might be at a spot where Young Hansen has to play 11 minutes a night. How's that going to go?
Well, he's blocking four shots.
I think it's okay to be honest about all of it. You can like the idea of what Ja will be,
mm-hmm.
Staggering lineups, but right now they're bench guys. Are there three bench guys? Shaden, Ja, Scoot,
Robert Williams.
Three of those four players are 6'5" and under.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is literally my height and weighs less than me. And his only way of scoring is to attack the rim.
He's an elite athlete, though.
Don't sleep on Ja.
Thank you.
People pointed out, actually, the last few, he wasn't showing exactly vintage.
He played like four games last season.
Play four. He played more than four games last season.
It rained a lot.
It's okay to say the under. Doesn't make you a bad
fan. I mean, I did it last year. I ended up being wrong. I was under last. I think I had a 39 win total last year.
I was off by one game in the prediction total. Yeah. I think right now as it sits, I lean the under. But if you tell me they win 41 games, yeah, I think they're in the range of where it's at. So
a bad guy.
You're a bad guy over there. What do you make of the over-under 43.5? The poll question is up. Some more thoughts on that in the final hour. We'll get you set for the World Cup final, which will be on Sunday. Are we excited? Spain versus Argentina. Why do we have this? It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.